Amen. I like how Brandy, when he get down there, that deliverer. He kind of get deepened on that one. I like that. Oh, man. It's good to see everybody this morning. I appreciate Josh reminding us. Last week was a great time. Great time of celebration. Looking back on how God has sustained us for 20 years. You know, it's a good thing to celebrate. Celebrating is a godly trait. When you open up the Bible, the very beginning, God is celebrating his creation. You end the Bible, there's a celebration in Revelation. Celebrating actually forms us spiritually into the people of God. But sometimes we don't take the time to celebrate. You know, we're busy, we got our lives, life is life and all that stuff. But man, when we take the time to celebrate, it is so powerful. Life is filled with struggles. Life is filled with craziness. If we don't take the time to celebrate, then we can actually be deformed into the type of people God doesn't really want us to be. And so we can't let that happen. And so I think it's really healthy to learn how to intentionally celebrate as God's family. So I'm glad that we were able to do that last week. This week, we're going to try to do something else that really helps shape us into more like the character and the life of Jesus. We're going to really try to lean into the concept of serving. And here's the deal. I know you've probably heard this before a million times. Yeah, 20% of the people in an organization can sometimes do 80%, you know, of the work. I know you've heard that. But you know what? That should never happen in the church, right? You know, and if it were to happen, shame on us if we don't at least name it and deal with it, right? And not be a dysfunctional family and not say anything. I don't think that's the case here necessarily. I'm just saying, I think we take the time every year to try to lean into serving this church. And you know, as a church leader, here's the reality. We don't try to lean into manipulating you into serving. That's not helpful. We're not going to try to shame people into serving. That's an abuse of our leadership. We appeal to you to willingly offer yourselves in service to God and to one another in this local congregation. And we hope that you are grateful for who God is, what God has done in your life. And we hope that you always feel like we are lifting up the name of Jesus more than the name North River. And hopefully, you, when you serve and you feel motivated to serve, it's because you feel like whatever you do, in deed or word, you're doing it in the name of Jesus and to serve him. Right now, people have came up here to make sure you can hear what I'm saying. People are filming stuff so that it can be seen online. People came here Thursday night to rehearse songs so that we could praise God. Someone right now is probably changing one of your kids' dirty diapers. If you really think about that, someone willingly has volunteered to do that. So you can sit in the service and, you know, enjoy it. You know, some folks got here early, it was raining, but they still showed up putting cones down, trying to direct people to park. These are willing, people are doing this willingly to serve, and I hope that when they do it, even though it's monotonous, I mean, you know, this ain't, you know, Pollyanna, but it could be monotonous to serve, but man, I hope that they can find it in their heart to do it for the Lord. So one Sunday out of the year, 52 Sundays, one Sunday out of the year, we stop and we give all of you an opportunity to find the different places that there are to serve in the church and to prayerfully consider where you can serve for the next year. Willingly. That we figured, you know what? Let's do that. Because as I have tried to say many times, we haven't done a great job always of communicating. But I feel like when we usually communicate things to all of you, you usually respond, right? And so if you don't even know what the needs are, how are you going to know to meet them? But if we can give you that communication, you usually do a great job. And so that's the spirit. We're going to have that time this after the end of service. We're going to give you an opportunity to go and find out the different places that you can perhaps serve. And again, this isn't we're trying to force you to do something. We hope that you can check your heart and hopefully be encouraged by what God has done in your life. Amen. And today I'm going to share kind of a short communion type message, but we're going to look at a psalm. I appreciate we were meeting and Ashley Reese brought this psalm up, and it was so appropriate, and I appreciate her bringing this psalm up. And we're going to look at Psalm 84 today and just take a little bit of time, because I think the thing that I really love about this psalm is that it celebrates what happens when we come together to worship God. Not just the physical place, even though the physical place we're going to read about here in the psalm is kind of celebrated. It's more about the God who makes the place special. But it's also the journey that we're all on, and really how we can all be together in that journey. I think Psalm 84 does a great job, and hopefully we can read this psalm, most of it together, and I think it kind of even sets us up to really reflect on the life of Jesus as we take the Lord's Supper together. Let's read this psalm together. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul longs. Indeed, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she places her young near your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. You know, I appreciate this first part of the psalm. And literally, yes, this is written about the temple in Jerusalem. Yes, that is the physical, literal aspect of what this psalmist is writing about. But even as you read this, this is an artist. This is a creative. That's what the psalms are amazing. They're written by creatives in so many ways. Look at those words. Yes, it's a dwelling place, but what makes the dwelling place lovely? It's not the concrete or whatever, the wood. That's not what it's about. It's about God. It's about who God is. Our soul might long for the psalmist's soul. He longs for the courts of the Lord. It's not the architecture that has him inspired. It's what happens there at the temple that has him inspired. That's what it moves his heart. And it's beautiful. Even a sparrow, even a little bird that seems insignificant can see a place to find and even build a family. What a beautiful, beautiful metaphor, I think, in so many ways. Although I think there were literal birds that made their nest in the literal temple, but this is not just literal. And I hope that we can see, even in our own situation, that right here, 320 Austin Ave, I hope that this isn't just a bunch of drywall and concrete to you. I hope that you can see that special things can happen here, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. God draws us closer to one another as we praise him in his house. And I hope that we can appreciate this physical place, even though it's nothing, quote unquote, necessarily sacred about it on its own, but it's the God who makes it amazing. And I hope that we can tap into the psalmist as he looks at the temple, but see something more behind it. And I hope we can even look at this place and see something more behind it. You know, I was in the dunk tank. It was over here last week. Ray Rowan was in there for about 3 hours. I don't know how he did it, bro. But I'm sitting in the dunk tank. I'm getting dunked by people taking out all their aggression on all the bad sermons I preached. But there was one moment that was really cool for me. I'm sitting there, I'm in the dunk tank, and I see Hannah's, my daughter, my 22-year-old, she has a trunk, her own car. She has her own trunk for the trunk or treat. And I'm like, wow, man, I remember moving here. She was four. And, you know, now she, and I remember when we did the first trunk or treat over there in that part of the facility. And I was taking her to other people's cars, and she's getting candy, and now she drove up and got her own trunk. And I just sat there like, wow. And to my right, while I was sitting, I saw my man Tereji, and I saw Miles, his son. And man, I just sat there, and I just remember me and Tereji, before he was married, he was over at KSU, and just serving in the ministry over there. I remember after that, just him praying about, you know, man, me and Ann want to have a child, man, just pray. And I was praying. And so I see Miles is alive. Little Miles. I think he was thinking about trying to come over there and dunk me. I think, but he was all right for old Uncle Jeff. He didn't do it to me. But these are the moments that this isn't just a building to me. There's something lovely about this dwelling place. And it's what God does, and it's who all of you are. And the next passage says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. I really like this part. I wish I could spend an hour just talking about these passages. But, you know, I appreciate the folks that really understand that it's not about us. We can't rely on ourselves. Self-reliance is a terrible way to try to live the Christian life. Our strength is in God, and we have to realize that. But I love the way the psalmist says, you know, those people have their hearts set on pilgrimage. You know what that literally means? It literally means the roads or the highways to God are in the heart. And there's something very powerful about a person who has set their heart on the journey. It's not just how great God's dwelling place is. It's the journey to get there. And the journey to get to the physical temple, it was arduous. It's hot out there in that part of the world. There's a lot of hills to get up. There's a lot going on. A long journey sometimes people would take to get there. But even in the Christian life, it's a journey, right? You got to set your mind on the pilgrimage, on the journey. And this is where I did a terrible job last week. I was trying to lift up and provide a vision for those of us like myself who are gray hair, getting a little older. Like, I hope that we who have those roads to God, we understand we've been on the pilgrimage longer. And I hope that we don't feel like, you know what? I don't have a place at North River. I hope that we can see we always have a place here at North River to serve and to help others. You know, and it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, that valley, that word can mean tears. It can mean weeping. It can mean affliction. When you go through those tough times, guess what? If you don't rely on yourself, if your strength is in God, if you have set your heart on the journey, then even when you travel through the valley of weeping and tears, your perspective is, man, don't worry about it. This is a place of springs. God will work it out. God will work this all out. And I think those of us with the gray hair, those of us that have seen a lot of tears, but are still here. I think we got so much to give this congregation. And there are so many who are serving and giving of their hearts. But I just want to kind of say it, because we do focus a lot on the next generation. Sometimes I think those that are older, but what about us? Let me tell you something. We need you. We need that heart set on pilgrimage. We need you talking to younger folks and telling them, when they tell you, man, I'm in the valley of weeping, you can say, amen. Tell me more about it. But let me tell you, because my heart is always oriented toward God, because I've set my heart on pilgrimage and I'm not leaving. And on a journey that's long, sometimes you can get exhausted and get more tired the older you get. But what I love about the ones that who put their trust in God, you can go through the valley of tears, valley of weeping, journey, travel, hills, valleys, but still go from strength to strength. You're not getting more exhausted. You're actually getting more fortified in the Lord. And that's the kind of overflowing that I appreciate for those of you that are older than me, that I see it in you and I say, thank you. And we need you. It's not just the next generation. And what I love about the older brothers and sisters at this church, a lot of churches, you know why they die? They die because the older folks that started the church, they hold on to it. And then they get older, but the church stay older. But they say, we're going to do it the way we did it. It's the way it's always been done. That's how we're going to do it. And then there ain't no young people there. And then sooner or later, people literally die off. And the church dies. But not here. And that's what I love about it. I love those of you that are older, that stay here. Your hearts are set on pilgrimage. And you overflow and you serve this church. And you do a great job of setting an amazing example. So amen, let's pour into the next generation so the church can stay alive. But amen, let's not sideline those of us who are gray-haired and older, because we going from strength to strength, and we got a lot to give in the tank too. And I apologize if last week that didn't come through in my haste. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. Man, I love this. Better is one day with God than a thousand elsewhere. I hope that is our hearts as we think about even serving this congregation, to give it a day. It wouldn't be good if, I gotta be honest with you, you know, it's not good if it's serve one day in the house of the Lord and serve a thousand places elsewhere. That ain't good, right? Don't let the HOA or the PTA get all your good stuff. Oh, that struck a nerve right there. Don't have time for all those organizations setting up the happy hour at work and doing all this other stuff, but won't serve the church. Well, come on now. Come on now. We can't have that here. Come on. So I'm calling all doorkeepers. Let's go. Let's serve this lovely place because of what God has done here. We need more doorkeepers. Because the last time I checked, the guy that we serve and the guy that we love, Jesus, he was a foot washer. He was willing to do whatever. Even the people they weren't even treating him right. A foot washer, a servant. That's who we serve. And I hope that visual, that willingness to be shaped into Jesus, but you can't just be shaped into Jesus just by listening to sermons. We show up for each other and we serve like Jesus, and we're motivated by his example. And I hope that can inform us as we take the Lord's Supper together, as we continue to worship in this moment, and as we consider how we can serve in the house of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to thank you, to offer praise to you. We love you. We love this place. We have seen many things happen. Some people got married in the physical spot where I'm standing right now. People have been baptized in the baptistry behind me or over to the side when we used to have it over there. How lovely is this place, because you have worked marvelously here, and we know that Jesus is the inspiration for it all. And we thank you for Jesus, and we are going to take time right now to take this bread into our bodies, his body. We will drink this juice that is his blood that he shed on that cross. We believe that, Lord. And we believe he will come back again and make this world what it's supposed to be, to bring you honor and glory. So we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.